Greetings from Faith in Paducah, as Brother Joe said. You know, I remember growing up in church, and we did this in our church growing up. And so you kids are kind of out of your comfort zone a little bit, and that's a good thing. It's going to prepare you for what's coming. You got a tough crowd. I mean, they were being hard on a couple of y'all. But I remember doing what you're doing today, and I remember being nervous, and I didn't always want to do it. But it was the best thing for me. You got to keep a good attitude. You got to trust that your parents and these folks in these church knows what's best for you. This matters. What you're doing today matters. Yeah. It makes a difference, you know. Amen. Don't lose that. This is Sunday. It's not just another Sunday. No Sunday is another Sunday. They're all a blessing. We're a blessed people here today. Amen. I'm thankful for the opportunity to preach, as I said, and for the invitation, the kindness that the church has shown. Your church is known to be a loving church. Preachers say you'll go there and they'll love you. They're a caring church. They love to give, and it's a church that loves the Lord. Could you imagine a better thing to be said about your church? So we'll be in Deuteronomy 31 this morning. Brother Joe had given me almost too much warning to invite me up here. So I wrote like three or four sermons, and was driving to work Thursday morning and praying over for this Sunday. And it was like God said, hey, this is not right. So we went back and I prayed, this is it. This is not about me. The Lord had been dealing with me for 2 years in a call to preach. He had made my life fairly miserable, at least the last 6 months. And then in November, surrendered. And we always have excuses to not go on and serve. I'm 39 years old. I don't come from a bloodline of preachers. I've lived out in the world for 26 years before the Lord saved me. I am the chiefest of sinners. I believe that with all my heart. I had trouble with my pride. I had a dear brother break me down with that in 1 Corinthians 4:9-13, where it talks about being a fool for Christ's sake. And being a spectacle. And I stand before you today a fool. So was asked to preach in November shortly after surrendering. And I mean very shortly. And Brother Joe's name was on the flyer for Tuesday night. And you should have saw their faces when I got up there. I think people were thinking about getting up and leaving. So we love him. We've drove a ways to hear him preach before. And I think maybe 5 years, 6 years we've known each other. But I appreciate him. I appreciate what he stands for. I hope you all do as well. I know that he loves you all. Before we get into reading the scripture today, I want us to think about something. When we're reading a book or maybe watching a television show or reading a recording from God's Word, we tend to put ourselves in what we're reading, right? So forgive me, I'm going to call it a story because we're talking about more than the Bible. But when we do that, we tend to read those things. We're never the bad guy in what we're reading, right? Things in that are relatable to us. I always, you know, like to be the better looking, more popular guy and whatever it is. I'm like, I could be that guy. We were talking with Brother Todd's children yesterday about some things and some shows they watch. And it's just funny to hear them talk. Everybody loves the good guy. But we're not always the good guy in every story we read or every recording in the Word. We tend to look at ourselves a certain way, and it's not always in the right way. As we read today, I pray that we see ourselves in three different roles in this recording from God's Word. There's going to be two clear roles that we're going to see, and then there's one role that gets overlooked often, and it's this role of transition in what we're going to read. And the title today would be My Sunset, Your Sunrise. This is a message, you know, I wish was preached to me and to people around me growing up in church. I have need of you all. You have need of each other. Your pastor needs you. Right. You know, you need him. We need each other. God puts us in each other's lives for a reason. So I'm going to read this, and then we're going to just come back and break them down a little bit, and I'm going to get down and be quiet. So Deuteronomy 31, we'll start in verse 1. It says, "And Moses went and spake these words unto all Israel, and he said unto them, I am 120 years old this day. I can no more go out and come in. Also the Lord hath said unto me, Thou shalt not go over this Jordan. The Lord thy God, he will go over before thee, and he will destroy these nations from before thee. and thou shalt possess them. And Joshua, he shall go over before thee, as the Lord hath said. And the Lord shall do unto them as he did to Sihon and Og, kings of the Amorites, and unto the land of them whom he destroyed. And the Lord shall give them up before your face, that ye may do unto them according unto all the commandments which I have commanded you. Be strong and of a good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them. For the Lord thy God, he it is that doth go with thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. And Moses called unto Joshua and said unto him and all the sight of Israel, Be strong and of a good courage, for thou must go with this people into the land which the Lord hath sworn unto their fathers to give them, and thou shalt cause them to inherit it. And the Lord, he it is that doth go before thee, and he will be with thee, and he will not fail thee, neither forsake thee. Fear not, neither be dismayed. Amen. We'll stop reading there, and then we'll come back and we'll pick up shortly. In verses 1 and 2, I want us to look at this. Moses is coming before this. The rest of these chapters in Deuteronomy is Moses addressing the people. This is his farewell address. And it says, Moses went and spake these words unto all Israel. Moses is God's man. We have here the lawgiver. The lawgiver is leaving some parting instructions. Maybe the last time, as we said, he addresses this assembly. And I'd just like to say to that point, we never know when our last times are going to be. Right. This could be the last time I ever get to preach the word. Yeah. Brother Todd and I were talking yesterday, and he was talking about missing breakfast with somebody. And it bothered him. It could be the last time that person ever asked him to go out. We never know when it's going to be the last time we leave for work. We tell our family goodbye. We never know the last opportunity we're going to have to witness to our kids or grandkids. Don't overlook that. Right. Every moment in life matters. Moses knew this was his last time. That's the difference in what we're reading now in our lives. Moses had this grace from God that he was going to be able to take the time and talk to these people, and more importantly to Joshua, I believe, in this farewell address. The multitude that Moses was speaking to, the children of Israel, this large moving city that had been wandering around, and I just want to think about that for a minute. It is said that it would take 50 rail cars of food and 12 million gallons of water a day to take care of these people. I'm sure we've all heard that right in Sunday school in our preaching. But yet God met that need in a barren desert. 12 million gallons of water a day. I mean, we got cities pouring millions of dollars in trying to get that done. And God did it without any technology, any help from man. When God says he's got it, he's got it. You just follow along, all right? So it's easy to understand that Moses could be speaking to an entire congregation to me. A lot of people like to break this down. Well, how did he do it? Did he send people out to magistrates? He could have got up there and whispered, and God could have wrote it on their heart. That's not for me to know. But Moses is talking to all. Moses, again, knows his time's short. He knows he cannot cross over this Jordan. He was judged for disobeying. Let's spend a minute on that. God didn't have to ask Moses or say, hey, come here, Moses. I'm thinking about judging you, not letting you go over this Jordan. God is sovereign. God is just. God does what God's will is, and we are to obey. Right. All right? So Moses was judged for his disobedience, and he knew he wasn't going to be able to cross over. We know in the last chapter of this book that it says that Moses was 120 years old. His eye was not dim, nor his natural force abated. God took Moses home. Moses still had plenty of life left in him. Some of us today have more life than others. Some seasons, some of us are battle-hardened. Some of us are older, some younger. I'm in that transition period that I was talking about. I'm no longer a youth up here on a Sunday morning wondering what life holds for me. I just wake up every day and I'm in a whirlwind wherever God's leading me. But I'm in the transition period. I'm becoming an older person in the church. Dare we say a leader? Even though we don't always want to step up and own that role, but we're called to. Whenever verse 2 talks about he can no longer go out or come in, that's a reference back to Numbers. I'm going to turn there and just read it. We'll take God's word for it. Numbers 27, 16 and 17 says, Let the Lord, the God of the spirits of all flesh, set a man over the congregation, which may go out before them and which may go in before them, and which may lead them out, and which may bring them in, that the congregation of the Lord be not as sheep which have no shepherd. You know what Moses is telling them here? God's called another. It's time for me to move on. Yeah. Moses knew that Joshua was next in line. Thing is we sometimes have the potential to keep leading, and we have the potential, we're able, we're proven, we might say, to keep doing the work God has called us to do. And then sometimes I think our fears come true and we realize that we're no longer to go any further in this, that God has another in mind. We got to get out of the way.
Yeah.
He was a healthy leader, but it was the will of God for this to go on without Moses. Folks, we're in here today. This isn't your church. It's not Brother Joe's church. This is the Lord's church.
Amen.
I understand what I'm saying is pretty elementary to anyone who's been in church, but we fail there more than we do at the greater things. We can't depend on our teachers or leaders no any longer. It's a call for all of us. We all have a job to do. We all have a job to stand up and to step up. This is God's work. It's about Him. It's by Him. It's for Him. And it must go on. It doesn't need me. I'm not worthy. I'm thinking there today. I'm watching this. I love to hear your pastor preach. I just assume you hear him preach. Just get up here. I love preaching, though. Preacher wants to preach, right? But I am unworthy. We all would say that, but we all have a job to do. So let's break down the next few portions of Scripture here. It says in verse 3, "The Lord thy God, He will go over before thee, and He will destroy these nations from before thee, and thou shalt possess them, and Joshua, he shall go over before thee, as the Lord hath said." This encouragement is to the people. Moses knew he was going to die. He knew these people very well. He knew they were frail people. I mean, Moses prayed the prayer of, "I want to quit, take me home now," more than once. But yet he wanted to encourage them. He knew what it was going to take. "I'm not going to be with you, but God is."
Amen.
That's what he's saying. He said, "I'm just a man. This is going to go on without me. One day, this church is going to look different. My church is going to look different." I've been in more churches lately than my entire life. I've not seen what you all have this morning. You having a great blessing of youth, but with that comes a great responsibility.
Amen.
I had no idea what I was walking into today. I knew it was a youth weekend, but I didn't know that it was here. I'm thankful to see it.
Amen.
But I pray you embrace the responsibility that's standing before
right.
you with it.
Yeah.
The church will look different. The people won't be the same. We pray the word's the same. We pray the truth is the same. We know God's going to be the same. But you and I aren't going to be here one day. Moses is not going. We're here but a short while. So the question is what are we doing now for them? It can't stop with this kind of Sunday. It's got to be every day. It's got to be every service. And that's what we're going to talk about today. I would say on a personal level, one day your kids won't have you and your grandkids won't have you. I know we know that, but just really think about it for just a minute. What are you doing for them now? We can't do everything for them. They got to learn to stand on their own, but we can help them while we're here. Amen? Well, when's the last time your kids heard about your struggles? Your grandkids, when's the last time they heard your testimony? Do they know what the Lord's done for you? Not just in salvation, but your whole life. I'm a firm believer. My testimony didn't start at 26 when the Lord saved me. It started on day one when I was born. And all these things, God was sovereign in my life and led me to that point. But I wasted 26 years doing what I wanted to do. It could be 2 in the morning. I could. Some of you heard my testimony. I could be out drinking and know I was lost. I see God's hand when I look all the way back. My children know what I've struggled with. I cannot let my pride keep me from not just letting them go and fall over the same thing that I've tripped over in my life. You can't have pride in your home when it comes to teaching your children. You've got to tell them, "Hey, I'm not perfect." They're going to learn it anyway. But talk to them about what your struggles have been. They need you. Okay, I don't have any kids or grandkids at home, or my family's not around. There's kids in this church that need to hear what you've been through. I like a good testimony service every now and then.
Yeah.
I've got people I go to church with now. I don't know what God's done for them, but I want to. I want to hear it. I need to hear it. You know, if your children struggle with the same sins or your grandchildren that you've struggled with, then you've failed if you've never taught them the difference in what you've done. We can't let our pride watch them fail. I love this, that Moses tells them, "The Lord will go before thee." You know, God had been in that day just like He's in this day and every other day the same. We don't understand that, but God is in it all, and He can be in it all at the same time. Psalm 90, verse 2, the end of it says, "From everlasting to everlasting, Thou art God." We have an everlasting God that changes not, that makes a promise to a sinner like me. That's something to hold on to. And it's something that we can pass down. We can tell others of what the Lord has done for us.
Amen.
All right? He says that you shall possess them. God has prepared this place, the people there. They're only caretakers. You're going to go in this land. There's going to be cities, fences. There's going to be fields prepared. We've heard this. All right? You're going to go in, and all you got to do is take it. God has given that to you. Well, one day, the children that we see up here are going to be the next leaders.
Yeah.
So, I have the opportunity today to say things because I don't know anything about your church. But if they see you act out in a business meeting one day, and you do this or you do that, and they repeat it in 20 years, have you led them down the right path? I mean, we have a responsibility. You are being watched. You may think, I can't do this. I'm too old. This is not me anymore. They're watching. They need you more than you realize they need you.
Amen.
So that land was prepared for them. We have the same job today to give them something. When we hand off that baton, it's worth holding on to and taking and running with it. There's a call here. Moses tells them that Joshua shall go over before thee. Now Moses had led them to this point. Moses got the raw end of this deal, but it didn't bother him. It was time for another to take the people in the land. You know, I've seen it my entire life. You have people in positions, whether it's politics or church, and they know they don't even be in that position anymore, but they won't step down because they don't want to see somebody else do it. A lot of times, it's not even that they don't trust somebody else. That wasn't Moses' attitude. He was in it for the Lord. That's our attitude. We got to be in it for the Lord. Someone else may be called to go further than we were ever going to be allowed to go. Have you really thought about that? You know, when the Lord called me to preach, like I said, I didn't really want to. Who wants this life? I've heard more. It's a blessing, but you hear a lot of things, right? My job may have been to preach one sermon and then get down and never preach another one. If that's all He wanted me for, that was it. That was where He brought me to. Someone else is going to be called to take what we have and take it further than we have. This meek man, Moses, he tells him, he says, "You serve God." Things change, the world changes, people change. He tells him, "Serve God." He says, "Joshua will lead you. You keep serving." It doesn't matter who the leader is. You follow God, not man, is what Moses is telling him here. Let's look at verses 4 and 5 here. Moses encourages them. He says, "And the Lord shall do unto them as He did in Sihon and Og, the kings of the Amorites, and unto the land of them whom He destroyed. And the Lord shall give them up before your face, that He may do unto them according unto all the commandments which I have commanded you." Looking back on things that God has done for us is a wonderful blessing. I mean, He gives us a memory. I just told you, I can look back on my life as a lost person and see His protection then. My youngest son, who's here today, was saved about a month ago. He was baptized last week. And last Sunday, Brother Draper called on my oldest son to dismiss church. He prayed for him. It was more mercy in that moment than I deserve. And I can look back and draw strength from that, saying, God's been good to me. But here's the problem when we keep looking back. We rest on yesterday. We rest on past victories. We've never done enough. We're never going to be good enough. I've seen churches struggling. They no longer go out to battle. They tarry. They stay behind. They love to talk about the good old days, the revival of yesterday, standing room only. Well, what God hadn't changed. What's going on?
Right.
We keep looking back on things. Look back on God's greatness to you, but you have to look at it and move forward with that encouragement. You can't move forward with pride. Notice here Moses says, "whom He destroyed," at the end of verse 4. He gives God the honor and glory for the past victories. God destroyed them then. It is God who gives the victory. We can't get up one day and go out to war like Samson and not even realize God's not with us anymore. They would make this mistake in chapter 7 of the book of Joshua. they would go and try to do it themselves. God gave them the victory. Moses here encourages all of Israel, but he's telling them how God gives the victory, and that's our job today. You know, sometimes I fear that we've had so many victories that they've lost their power in our lives and in our churches. We have a tremendous freedom to worship and to be able to preach the word. And my fear is we need that removed sometimes to really understand how good God's been to us. And I fear that. The command from verse 5 that Moses speaks about is when you go into the land, you are to utterly destroy them. You make no covenant with them. Don't marry them. I don't want you being drawn away. I don't want you serving their gods. You're my people and I am your God. So there's temptation there. It's your youth Sunday. These children are watching the things that you struggle with. If there's temptation, we've got to remove it. That's a good command for us today. We can't brush up next to sin. We're not going to win. The people Moses here is addressing, that they failed. Moses knew the weakness of the people he was called to lead. Let's move on here to verse 6. This is what God had given me right here. Be strong and of a good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them. For the Lord thy God, he it is that doth go with thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. This was a common theme told to Joshua. And here Moses is talking to the people. We are not strong. We can think we are, we're not. The young people that are here today, the Bible speaks of these young lions. It's one of my favorite things to study. You're resilient. You bounce. You know, things hurt, you fall, you get up. You get up a lot easier than I do now and some other folks ever have. It's the blessing of being young. That youth, that strength, it won't always be there. You won't always have that. Wisdom will come and it will show you your need. So what do we have here today? We have some older lions sitting in here today. You know where to go when times get hard for water and for nourishment. You know where to go to find food. You know what to feed on. These young lions don't. You've got to lead them and show them. We walked in this morning and was pulled into the pastor's study back there, and there was men in a circle getting ready to pray, different ages. All have scars, all have stories. We've all been hurt. Some are had a wheelchair, hard to stand up. One man, I can't even remember, he stood up while we prayed. You're battle-hardened. You've been through a season, and these young kids coming up have no idea what awaits them each and every day. You can help them.
Right.
But you do it for the Lord. They don't have to fail where you've failed. So, no, we're not strong, but the Lord thy God. I love that. You're not strong, but the Lord thy God. We are strong in him, not on our own. Not when we do it for us. There's power in his might. There's power trusting and relying on him who goes on before us. He says, fear not, nor be afraid. You know, young and old in here, like, we're going to face things we've never faced before. We're going to face mountains we've never had to climb. There's going to be valleys that seem longer than the last one we just left. The shadow of that valley from the mountain we're trying to get up is going to be colder than the last one we were in. Some of the things that we're going to face are in a great number, or they're Goliath-sized. The battle never ends while we're here. We will come to cities that are well-fenced and fortified, but we're to fear not nor be afraid. Younger people here, you're going to face enemies bigger than yourself every day, but not bigger than God. Our strength is God. We can listen. I'm 39. I think I know a lot. I don't. My strength is him. I need to hear that every day. There's a lot of times I try to go out and do it on my own. The Lord is strong no matter my strength, no matter the enemy. I just wear myself out trying a lot. I love verse 6. I tell you, I like the idea of me being strong and me having courage, but I'm not. But here's the thing. I may be stronger than someone else in here today. And I may have more courage than someone else in here today. So now I have responsibility.
Right.
Now I have to be there for somebody else. It's not always about me. The valley, the mountains that we just referenced, they may not be anything about me. It may be so that way one of these young men or little ladies are looking and they're like, wow. And I'm going through it for them. It's never even, my name is not important. They're going to go on further. You know, I'll confess to you, and I don't blame anyone. I think Brother Todd and I were talking about this the other day. I've been in church my entire life. I think about a month after the Lord saved me, a lady in our church came up and said, you need a job. You're going to start teaching kids, this kids Sunday school class. And that's where this started. But no one has ever taught me how to teach or to preach or to study the Word. And that's not a bad thing. I mean, but at the same time, I would appreciate it. You think some of these kids would? You think this next generation would appreciate someone investing in them? I said it earlier. I'm not the son of a preacher. My dad had a drinking problem. We need people to invest. We get so focused in on what we're doing and our trials and our health and our struggles that we forget there's a whole world living around us. If you're in a place to help or to bless another, you got to serve God with that. Brother Matt from church in Paducah, he and I are good friends, and he means a lot to me. He's been my Jonathan lately. And I go to his house, and I'll call him on the phone. I said, I'm going to come over to your house and make it weird. And we'll come over there, and I'll do a devotion. Or he's got three lost daughters we pray for every day. And we'll witness to them. It shouldn't be weird to go talk about the Lord and what the Lord's done. I want to tell you right now, we need to be making it weird. We're weird people. Some of us are weird to each other, you know. Don't be afraid to be weird. You're going to stand there before God on the day of judgment. He's going to say, you didn't do it because you didn't want to be weird. Tell him what God's done for you. I can tell you, I don't know you, but I love you. I hope that's not weird to you, but if it is, I don't care. But that's the same thing you would tell a lost soul. But for grace, I don't know you, but let me tell you what Jesus has done for me. We got to be willing to step out of that comfort zone for God. We miss so many opportunities to be there for one another, to strengthen one another, to strengthen the weak, because we don't want to be weird. Dear brother Bill Frazier from our church in Paducah, he texted me this morning. He was the first person to text me. He's 80 years old. And I'm going to tell you, I love that man. Back in January, we had went through some things, and we were sitting in prayer band, and I was hurting. Sometimes we serve God and we're doing what God would have us to do, and it doesn't make sense. And you look around and everybody in your life is hurting. And you think, did I take a wrong turn? God, you wanted me to do this. My wife and my children, I don't understand. But I'm waiting on you. But Lord, I really need you. And I'm sitting there and I'm trying to control my tears and I'm whimpering. And he's a big man. I don't know if anybody knows him. He reaches over. He puts that big hand on my back. And all he does is grab me by the neck. That's all he did. Prayer band was over. He could beat me up. I don't care if he's 80 or not. He's big. He pulls me into him. He said, brother, I don't know what you're going through, but I'm going to tell you, God's never forsaken me. Amen. He said, I'm going to tell you right now, you just keep waiting on him. That's all I needed to hear. You know why I love that man? Because he loves God. He loves God enough to make it weird. It wasn't weird to me. I needed it. He said, God's brought me this far. He's not loyal to me. He's loyal to God, and that encourages me. We don't need men to be loyal to men. What encourages the older generation is to see what we've seen this morning.
Yeah.
I'm telling you today to help someone else along. Some of us may have more or less sunrises coming than we realize. Perhaps some are ready to ride into the sunset. My pastor says that all the time. I don't like hearing it. But what are we doing for those that are going to have to go on? What can we do to help them continue on today? You know, I want to be a Brother Bill Frazier to somebody. I want to be able to say, God's never forsaken me. I can't do anything for you, but God can. I'll pray for you. There are men whom God has really given the ability to bring the weaker up to their level. I think of another brother growing up in church. This man was 50 years older than me, and if my soul was ever knit to anyone else, it would be him. He buried two of his children, buried his son-in-law, buried his first wife, got remarried. We just buried him last year. And anytime I went to him with a problem, he never talked down to me. He never made me feel foolish. Now, he would correct me because he loved me enough to, but he brought me up to his level. I looked up to him and he knew it. And whenever I would come to him, he made me feel like I was the best thing that ever happened to him. We need people like that. These kids are going to have it worse than we have. The world is going that direction. We need to be able to help them, pull them in, hold them, and lift them up. Your words that you say to them today, they may never forget for the rest of their life. I think back on days like this of what adults had said to me, and I still remember it today. You have a responsibility in here this morning. And it's not just to come here and to sing and open your Bible and tell everybody what a great job they did. Pull in one of these kids and make it weird today. They need it. You know, we might be reading this and you might think you're the Joshua in this story. You could be the Moses. You don't get to pick your role. That's not how this works. We may always be in that transition phase. And I pray that if we are, the Lord finds us faithful. It says that he will not fail thee or forsake thee. That's probably a sermon for another day, but I tell you this. God's been faithful to me in my life. Amen. I've seen it. It hadn't always felt that way, but I know it. He knows me no different than Moses knew them people. He knows what's best for me. I guarantee you Moses wouldn't have dotted a few I's every now and then. I don't care how meek he was. He put up with a lot. But the older I get, the more comfort it brings me that he won't fail me or forsake me. No matter what tomorrow holds, I'm going to face things I know that I've never faced before. But I know the Lord's on my side. He allows me to see the next step. I always want to look at the big picture, but I'm just to follow him closely. Let's move on here. Verses 7 and 8, it says, "And Moses called unto Joshua and said unto him, in the sight of all Israel, be strong and of a good courage, for thou must go with this people into the land which the Lord hath sworn unto their fathers to give it them, and thou shalt cause them to inherit it. And the Lord, he it is that doth go before thee. He will be with thee. He will not fail thee, neither forsake thee. Fear not, neither be thou dismayed." You have Moses addressing the nation of Israel, and then you have Joshua come up. And I believe what the people got to see here in this moment was a tender conversation between two men of God. And Moses was going to give Joshua this charge in front of everyone, and everyone got to witness it. And I believe Moses was crying and smiling the entire time he was talking to him. He did it in front of everybody. Joshua was inadequate. He was just as inadequate as Moses was. But could you imagine being the one to follow Moses? I guarantee you Moses knew he needed a little encouragement. These words were going to be personal. This word, this book we're reading is personal. It speaks to a race of men. It speaks to a body and it speaks to each one of us. Moses gives him this charge. Moses, like we said, would want to quit several times. He knew what it was going to take for Joshua to take and lead these people in. And he was going to be asking them to do things that Moses never asked them to do. Look, I'm not just trying to preach to the older folks in here today, but you know what it's going to take in life. You know when you want to quit. You know when you almost quit. These kids up here behind me, most of them probably don't know that. Most of them never went through what you've went through. You don't want them to go through that, right? I mean, as parents, we don't want our children to go through what we went through. They may need to, but we don't want them to. You got to be willing to take them in and make it weird. You got to give them a start in this service that you may have never had. You know, Moses didn't have a man before him like Joshua would. When Moses was called to lead these people, he didn't have another Moses to look to that was in front of him. He was given Joshua something better than he had inherited. That's rare. Make it weird. Talk to them about their life. If you see them making choices that you don't agree with, don't get on to them, but talk to them about it. Just hear them out. They may have a good reason. You don't know. But you've got to be willing to get out of your comfort zone and invest in something. The same words that would encourage the people would be used to encourage the man. I love that part of what we just read. It was the same exact words. It doesn't matter your stature. We all read from the same Bible. The same portion of text that could encourage the most immature or new Christian can encourage your pastor or convict him. God speaks it to the heart. The power to talk to the heart is God's. It's not man's. I love hearing the gospel preached. I love it. I love hearing what God did for me, that he loved me enough to send his best for me. I love hearing it just as much as a lost soul here today loves hearing it because they know they need it. That's the power of God's word. So Joshua had been prepared for his role. He was perhaps more military minded than Moses, but had been prepared for something God knew would happen. I think Moses was allowed to see it. And Joshua thought maybe perhaps the day would never come. But you know, out of all this, I believe Moses wanted Joshua to succeed. It's not a competition. Right. This is a life of service we're called to. Yeah. It's a call to worship. We're not competing with the next generation or the one that was before us to try to say, hey, we're serving God better. We've done better. It's not about us. It's about God. We should want them to do better for God's glory. At some point, Joshua had to go on without Moses. At some point in time, this church is going to go on without you. Your kids, your grandkids, the children in this church, they're not going to have you anymore. They're going to have to go on without you. Moses prepared him for that day. Are we doing that? You know, this church may be doing very well at that. I pray it is. But we can't rest on that victory knowing that we're doing good enough. We need to keep trying to do better. I fear as a whole of Baptists, we're failing at setting up this next generation. These words are to Joshua. First spoke to the people and now to the man. And I believe Moses is looking at him. And as he's talking to him, there's this moment they have and He's saying, Joshua, it's the same God that's been with me. The same God that you've watched help me and deliver me and bring me through everything is the same God. Rest in that. He can tell him, I spent 40 years in Egypt. I spent 40 years learning how to become a shepherd. I spent 40 years being a shepherd. And I think he's looking at him in the eye and he's saying, you're going to want to quit, son. But you got to keep going on, for he is worthy. The same God that has brought me through everything. Every time I've wanted to quit, has encouraged me to keep going. He's saying, he is faithful to deliver thee. That's our job to the next generation. Look at him and say, God's been good to me. There was this time and this was going on and God brought me through it. Over here in this time, you know, just the time I thought things were going to get better, this happened, but God was faithful. It's not just telling them our testimonies. It's telling them everything that God's brought us from. That's giving God honor and glory. So you have these people, and they're allowed to see this personal conversation, I believe. Moses knew. He was once a young boy and once a young leader. This morning, Brother Joe said something in the back about me being confident. He was picking on me a little bit. But he was once a new, younger preacher. Yeah. I'm 39, but I'm a new preacher. I know that. I need to hear certain things. And I need certain people to come up and loosen the environment for me. Moses knew Joshua needed this. He could be a blessing to him. You know, we don't know how many more generations will be on this earth. God is going to rapture us out of here tomorrow. We don't know. But we know that the next generation, if the Lord doesn't come back, they're not going to have any easier than we have. Which should make us want to serve more. Moses looks at Joshua, when you're low, he is there. When you're weak, when you doubt, he is your strength. Moses simply ends with, he will be with thee. There's never been a time God hadn't been God. Never been a time that I hadn't been kept by his hand. He says, Joshua, fear not, nor be thou dismayed. Don't get discouraged. Don't get disheartened. Keep going. We need folks that's been in the valley and on the mountaintop with God to speak love and truth to the next man up. Joshua, you're a leader. You have to be strong in the Lord. Be willing to step up and be the example, knowing that if he lost it, they would lose it. We think a leader is maybe a youth leader or your pastor, your Sunday school teacher. No, it's a lot more than that. We all lead every day. We're leading people whether we realize it or not. I think Joshua, listening to Moses talk and they're having this conversation, he's looking at this man, probably the way I look at my pastor. And he's got such respect for him. Can't imagine doing it without him. And he should have. And that would be a charge to the younger ones in here today. This church isn't here by accident. It's been years of sacrifice by people before you. We come in and we take, we enjoy it, we run the air, we drink the water. It costs somebody something along the way. Respect it. You know, this thought is that Joshua was around 50 years old here. I don't know that for sure. It's argued between 40 and 50. And I told you I'm 39 and God just called me a few months ago. But it's never too late to start serving and helping others. We use that as an excuse. God decides when I'm old, not me. Not time, not age, not birthdays. When I'm done, God will say I'm done. But it's never too late to start. God qualifies the man. If I'm telling you, if you knew me before the Lord saved me, you wouldn't have me here today. That's how good God is, that he can blot out my sins. As long as you're here, whatever season you're in, if it hurt your body to come here today, you have a heartbeat. You're still called to serve. You know, one thing that we take for granted, I think, oftentimes, is we live in an inconsistent world, but we have a consistent God. He's always the same. He would whisper these words in Joshua chapter 1 in Joshua's ears again, knowing that he needed to hear it. He's consistent. So let's conclude 6 through 8, and I'll be quiet. It says, he will not fail thee or forsake thee. When you're strong in the Lord, you have the same promise. And again, he's talking to him. You've got the same promise that Abraham had, Isaac had, Jacob had, Moses had. God's always been God. He didn't have to pay his dues. He didn't have to work his way up in that position. He didn't ask anybody for guidance or permission. He's as much in yesterday, today, and tomorrow as he's ever been. Rest in that. Maybe this was more for me today because I need to hear stories of how God's brought you through something to help me. I haven't been doing this long, preaching. I'm not much of a preacher. But I can tell you that I've learned in a short time that it's lonely. Ministry can be a lonely thing. Preaching, serving, doing what's right. That doesn't just apply to a man that's called by God to preach, but if you're trying to do what's right, there's going to be times it doesn't feel right. You're going to find that you're lonely. But God's worthy to keep going on for. I know I'm beating this horse to death, but they have no idea what we're talking about right now, some of these kids that were up here. But you do. So now you have a responsibility. 9 through 12, we won't read it, but it talks about giving the law in the sabbatical year. Verse 13, let's get here and then we'll close out. It says, and that their children which have not known anything may hear and learn to fear the Lord your God as long as you live in the land, whether you go over Jordan to possess it. We see the importance to God to pass down his word, his way, and his law. We're called to live an obedient life. We're called to give God glory now and in the next generation. It's not over when we're gone. We're called to keep it going. We need each other. You know, oftentimes, and I think everyone in here would agree, we're closer to our church family than we are our blood family. That's a wonderful thing. I can come talk to you probably about things that I couldn't even talk to my parents about. Isn't that weird? It's okay to be weird about it. That's our common bond. Their lives were fixing to change. You see, they were no longer going to be wandering around, but they were fixing to go in and possess God's promise. They were going to be allowed to settle, something they have never done. Moses knew this, telling Joshua. They needed to hear the importance of passing down God's law and God's desire for their life. We have something worth passing down other than family traditions. Other than what I'd like to see of my kids, I'm more responsible than my wants to my children. I got to let them know what God expects of them. So we have folks in here in all seasons of life. We can help the next person up. I can help the next whatever's coming my way. If you're 80, 90, 100 years old, you still have a responsibility. The younger men that were doing the song leading and then talking about the announcements, they have a responsibility to the younger ones that are looking up to them. It never ends. It just follows us, this thing of serving God and responsibility. You know, there's something exciting about being around youth. It's almost like charges our batteries, right, when we're around them. And even New Life, and it's as much of a call to the younger folks to step up and encourage out the older folks as well as it is the older to encourage the younger. They can encourage you. But we encourage by serving God faithfully. It encourages me to see younger folks serving God. It encourages me to see them singing specials.
Yeah.
I mean, it takes a lot of courage to get up here and sing in front of a church. But I think they probably know y'all love them and want what's best for them. It makes it a little easier on them. You know, I would say too to the older folks in here, you remember how easily encouraged or discouraged you were at a young age? Certain folks were probably scarier than other folks. Keep that in mind when you're talking to them. Sometimes there's a time for the paddle and sometimes there's a time for just a good straight talk. Don't discourage them. Encourage them. I didn't say don't correct them. I got a few eyebrows. I'm just kidding. But I'd ask you to just talk to them and make it weird. They're going to look at you like, why did Brother Joe come up to me and tell me about this time in West Virginia? But you know what? They may remember it when they're 39. They need to hear it. Serving God first means we're putting ourselves last. We are that fool. We are that spectacle. We encourage each other to keep going because God is worth it. The work goes on without us. And to the younger ones, we know there's going to be a time when they're no longer Joshua. They're going to be Moses. You may be helping them, and then when they become Moses, they repeat your words. To me, that's when God gets honor and glory, but we get the blessing. We get just a little piece of that. And God shares that with us. So I will close out. I can't close out without bringing you something here, but I'd just say if you don't know the Lord today, if you're in here and you're lost, if you're under conviction, you're guilty. You're a guilty sinner before a holy, mighty God. But salvation is a free gift. You don't have to do anything to earn it. It's for by grace are you saved through faith. All you do with a gift is accept it. You can't do anything to earn it. So I would ask you to understand that Jesus died on the cross for your sins in your place, and you put your faith in him and nothing else. That's the free gift of salvation. So that's all I got.
Amen. Let's all stand together.